Won't you please pray with me? What a blessed assurance it is, Lord God, to know that we are yours and you are ours. You are our assurance. And we pray that you open our hearts to your word today, that we may truly abide in you. In your name we pray. Amen. So guess what? Our gospel lesson is from John. Again, surprise. I must confess that even Dave and I have been a bit surprised at the number of times in the last month that John chapter 6 has appeared. And I guess when Easter falls extra early, like it did this past spring, March 31st, the season of Pentecost is several weeks longer than usual, and this apparently allows us to cover the entire Bread of Life discourse recorded in John 6. So you may recall this Bread of Life discourse began the last Sunday in July. And in that gospel lesson, Jesus provided the gracious extension of a boy's lunch so that a hungry crowd could be fed. Now, here's a quick summary of what we've learned since then. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is living bread sent by God. Whoever comes to Jesus will never be hungry. Eating the true bread of heaven brings eternal life. Today, we hear Jesus' words, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Now, our gospel tells us that many of Jesus' disciples were put off by his words. This is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Another translation reads, "Who can listen to it?" Well, I think we've all been in that place where we might hear something, but we don't really want to listen to it. When we're young, the advice of a parent or a grandparent can be easily brushed off. The instruction of a coach or teacher can be hard to absorb if we feel we know better. And lest we pick only on the younger generation, our doctor may recommend practices to help us lead healthier lives that we sometimes are a little resistant to embrace. These are examples of when we may feel like putting our fingers in our ears and saying, "La, la, 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 we can't hear you," right? Well, the events recorded in John 6 are still fairly early in Jesus' ministry. His popularity is spreading based on the fame that he has such a fresh approach to the scriptures. And he is performing these miraculous healings and wonders. So there's quite a crowd that have been not just coming on occasion, but starting to follow him from place to place. And yet in today's lesson, those who have been following him, they're drawn up short. This is getting a little much. Jesus is getting crazy with all this talk of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What in the world does it all mean? Well, I'll offer you a couple of perspectives. And to start with, I'm going to back up to when Dave and I had been married about a year and a half. And we packed up our little apartment in Minot, North Dakota, and moved across the country to attend seminary at Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus, Ohio. Now, this move marked the first time I had lived outside my home state. In fact, having graduated from Minot State University, it was the first time I had ever even lived more than 20 minutes away from my parents. Now, my mom was a big believer in packing lunches for long car trips. She filled up a cooler with ice and placed within it all kinds of good things for us to eat on the road. Generous slices of ham and cheese were layered within buttered homemade buns. Styrofoam cups were filled to the brim with her signature potato salad with little squares of foil carefully covering the top. Of course, there was also her stash of cookies, and just in case we were starving from lack of nourishment, Mom sent her cinnamon rolls individually packaged in little Ziploc sandwich bags, keeping us well fed all the way to Ohio was her zealous motherly mission. And as my heart began to ache with the ever-increasing miles between us, I would reach back for another one of her delicious cinnamon rolls to savor. Thinking of Mom's presence, her abiding love for us, going right down the road along with us. It was so tangible, so reassuring and comforting. It was like being in communion with Mom, even though we were miles apart. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. When we hear Jesus' words today, we cannot help but be directed to the Lord's table, where we share the body and blood of our Lord in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, there are times when we come forward fully prepared to receive such a gift, and there are other times when it's just something we do on first and third Sundays, right? We don't necessarily deeply reflect on the gift being offered to us. But recently, my daily devotional readings uplifted such a beautiful story which underscores the powerful nature of Jesus' presence in the bread and wine of communion. And I'd like to share it with you now. It seems in 1975, while traveling to Saigon, Vietnamese Bishop Francis Xavier Nguyen Phan Thuan was arrested and thrown into prison. His family sent him a bottle labeled medicine, which was actually wine, along with some wafer host broken into small pieces. With these essentials, he was able to share the power of Jesus in the Eucharist with his fellow prisoners. In his book, The Road to Hope, he wrote, "At 9:30 every evening, I would bend over my wooden board to celebrate Mass, distributing communion to my neighbors, sheltered under their mosquito nets. We began to see that Jesus Christ was at work curing physical and mental suffering. Many who had lost their faith came back to Christ during those days. At night, prisoners took turns spending time with the Blessed Sacrament. Even Buddhists and other non-Christians were converted. And we found that the strength of the love of Jesus is irresistible. The strength of the love of Jesus is irresistible." Well, in the Lord's Supper, we are given tangible food and drink to remember our Lord's presence with us. As we partake of our Lord's body and blood, Jesus becomes a part of us. We become a part of him. There is no greater love than this. What a tangible, reassuring, comforting sign of Jesus' love for us. Well, in the broad timeline of things, when Jesus speaks these words in John's gospel, The sacrament of Holy Communion had not yet been instituted by our Lord. That came later, right? Just before his journey to the cross. And so we are given to realize there's a hidden, deeper meaning here that is challenging to his disciples, obviously, but perhaps to us as well. These particular words in John about flesh and blood are not so much about literal consumption as about having a deep connectedness to Jesus, a relationship with him that is intimate and personal. Simply put, to receive Jesus' saving power, the believer must feed on him. To feed on Jesus is to absorb, to take in his teaching, his character, his mind and ways, until the mind of Jesus becomes our mind and the ways of Jesus become our ways. This is a whole other level of thinking and perceiving, and yes, it is difficult to wrap our heads around this. Jesus gets it. Many of the disciples who'd been following him turned away from him that day. And so he turns to the 12, his closest inner circle, and in his typical direct style, he says, "Do you also wish to go away?" Well, this was a decisive moment for Jesus' disciples. It was no longer about just going along to get along. They'd seen him perform the miracles and bring people to conversion and take on the religious authorities suspicious of Jesus, but now they had to make a hard decision. Would they keep following Jesus when they didn't understand what he was saying to him? How about when they didn't even like what they'd heard? Would they still stick with him? Well, bless Simon Peter's heart. Peter speaks for himself and the rest of the 12 and says simply, with conviction, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Deep in his heart, Peter knew there was no one like Jesus. Jesus truly was the Holy One of God. And although Peter may not have understood all there was to know, may even have denied him later, Jesus' irresistible presence drew him closer. Peter didn't let his lack of understanding derail him and thwart his trust. What Peter did know was this: there's power in abiding in Jesus. There's strength to be found in him. There's healing and hope to be had in abundance for those who trust in him. To live daily in Jesus is to embrace him completely, his word, his presence, his directives. In the words of Bishop Nguyen Phan Thuan, the strength of the love of Jesus is irresistible. And Peter was drawn to that strength and staked a claim on sticking with Jesus. Friends in Christ, what about us? Will we keep following Jesus? Will we keep following when we come up against life's hard edges that cause us to question and doubt? For it's fair to say, and all fairness, there's times in our lives when, like Peter, all we have to go on is blind trust in our Lord. There's times when we stumble, when we doubt, when we ask questions, but like Peter, eventually we come full circle to this: Lord, who else is there? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In these times of challenge or questioning, this is where abiding daily in our Lord Jesus matters. We find our presence as he speaks to us through the word and as we speak to him in our prayers. We find our Lord's presence in the experiences of gathering for worship and in sharing the sacraments. We feel our Lord's presence through the compassion and care of our faith community. It is through dwelling in the reality of our Lord's presence and sticking close by him each day that we are carried through this journey of life in the good times and the bad. And so let us ask questions. Let us listen carefully. Let us keep our hearts open, for the one we trust will continue to provide love and grace for the living of each day. Oh Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom can we go but you? In joy, in sorrow, in times of confusion, in times of clarity, in the ordinariness of daily life. You, Lord, only you. Amen.